Whoop.com/celebrations going now. And at the end of this week on Friday, our big drawing for oodles of prizes. So be listening for that here on WWIB. Okay. But first thoughts, we kind of remind you that we are taking your calls for your highlight of the weekend. Let us know in your own voice what was your highlight of the weekend. Love to hear it at 715-396-1670. And we've started the started to take in the cabin fever screams as well. I see one from Julie in Rice Lake and Serenity there and Caroline in Rice Lake. So, yeah, we see you. Okay, terrific. Somebody else checking in on the listener line at 715-396-1670 saying, driving to pick up daughter to go to Imagine, I Can Only Imagine 2 movie. Love your station for over 50 years. So, well, thank you for that. Appreciate it. All right. All right, it is February 23rd. And again, we'd love to hear your weekend highlight. Let us know in your own voice, 715-396-1670, 396-1670. Otherwise, this is a Monday morning, and it is February 23rd, and so we've got trying to remember this day in history. Let's do it. Go back in the WIB time machine to 2000 right now. When Carlos Santana on this day won 8 Grammys for his album Supernatural, tying the record set by Michael Jackson's Thriller for the most trophies on Grammy night. Also, February 23rd, 54th day of the year, on this day in 1848, John Quincy Adams, the 6th president, died at the age of 80. In 1896, this is the day the Tootsie Roll was introduced by Leo Hirschfeld. And on this day in 1905, the Rotary Club was founded in Chicago by Paul Harris. Finally, our morning devotion for that, we're turning to Bob Goff for his book, Live in Grace, Walk in Love. I'm even reading this on weekends. Did so with my friend Gabriel yesterday morning. Today, February 23rd. Bob's got longer titles for his devotion. It's called Most of Our Decisions Are Driven by Love or Fear. Figure out what's driving you, then decide what you'll do. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Bob Goff says, years ago, I was headed out with a friend to see a movie. He zipped around the corner on my street and screeched to a halt in front of my mailbox. Smoke was still swirling around his car as I walked out the front door. Italics. Maybe I shouldn't go, I thought, but this guy was my friend and I really wanted to see the movie. As I settled into the bucket seat, I buckled my seatbelt and a few of the other seatbelts in the car. Then I prayed. It's kind of a silly example, but there's a truth in it. Most of our decisions are driven by either love or fear. Should I stay or should I go? Should I speak or stay silent? Should I risk it or back away? In these times, we've got to stop and remind ourselves that fear has many faces. If we're down on ourselves, it's fear saying we won't measure up. If we're worried about what people will think, it's fear saying no one will love us if they see our flaws. If it's a hot rod revving the engine in our driveway, maybe we should just stay home. That's just common sense. But Bob Goff says, the truth is, love says we're free to do a lot more than we think. We can love more people, we can trust God more, we can risk more. If we find ourselves considering others more important than ourselves, as Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, serving in secret or loving without an agenda, then chances are it's love doing the talking. If we're backing away from opportunities because we're not sure they'll work, hedging on our love and risking little in our relationships, fear might have the microphone. The trick is to figure out who's doing the talking before we decide what to do next. Our question in the morning, how is fear getting in the way of your loving others? Can't help but think about 1 John 4, perfect love casts out all fear.
Good morning, WIB listeners and family. We had a wonderful weekend. Our highlight was babysitting our one-year-old granddaughter and getting lots of snuggles, so we really enjoyed that and hearing her starting to babble and say things, so that's been amazing. So everybody have a great day.
If I had to single it down to one, my highlight of the weekend, calling my mom on Saturday afternoon for her birthday. So good to have that conversation. And my gift did arrive on her birthday, Caleb. Nice. I can't say that's happened too often, but it did this year.
Margie, so. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful birthday because she's probably listening right now. She listens very faithfully at WWIB.com.
She is one of our faithful, loyal listeners.
So, my highlight for the weekend, I have to say it was kind of an unexpected highlight, but it was a brief interaction that I had at church on Sunday. And so Susan Etchison from my church, hello, Susan, if you're listening, she's one of maybe the more senior, more elderly members of our congregation. And so we've been at that church. My dad's been pastoring there at Providence Church in Rice Lake for must be about 36 years because I was two when we came.
Wow.
And so, I mean, Susan has been a faithful member of that church for the entire time, and she taught me Sunday school and things like that. So, again, she's been with our church for years and years and years. And so she knows I count attendance. And so as we were exiting, she kind of caught me, and she's like, do you know how many kids are here? And I was like, I don't know that I've ever actually counted just the kids before. And I made some quip about, yeah, you know, they're running around so much, it's kind of hard to catch them. And if you're at my church, you know that sometimes the kids can get, you know, a little rambunctious. There's a lot of chaos, you know, they're running around a lot. But she looked at me and she said, I just love it. And that attitude, because you could be, again, when you're getting older on, you could be kind of crotchety or grumpy or like, hey, there's kids running around that I might get tripped up and fall or something. But she was just so genuine. Like, I love that there's children running around and screaming and being wild sometimes, but that there's so many kids in our church. And that just that genuine attitude of love for younger people just really, like, it just really hit me. And it's like, I want to have that attitude to see other people as blessings, not as interruptions or frustrations or difficulties, but to see others as a blessing. So thank you, Susan, continuing to teach me from Sunday school way back in the day to that brief interaction on Sunday. Thank you for continuing to teach me what it looks like to live and love like Jesus.
Good morning. This is Beth from Elkmoan. And this weekend, I got to go to watch our granddaughter play volleyball on Saturday morning. And then Saturday evening, Dennis took me out for supper to Olive Garden for my birthday. So it was a wonderful day. And Sunday, we rested. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
The Winter Olympics are in the rearview mirror now, Caleb. What a gold medal Olympic hockey game yesterday.
It was just incredible. And honestly, so many stories coming out of that. Just hockey players are built different, and the hockey family is just, it is really, really something impressive. So we could talk all day about that. But some notes on the Olympics. Norway finished the 2026 Winter Olympics with 41 total medals, including 18 gold medals, which set a new record for the most won by any country in a single Winter Games. However, the United States got 12 gold medals. That is our most ever in a Winter Olympics. So, yay, USA.
We did pretty good as well. The United States men's hockey team, of course, beating Canada 2-1 in overtime, winning their first gold in 46 years. Haven't done that since did it in Lake Placid, Miracle on Ice, 1980.
And did it to the day, 46 years later to the day. Right. Incredible. Team USA achieved a historic hockey sweep as both the men's and women's teams defeated Canada, both in overtime, both by 2-1 scores to take home gold medals. So that was incredible.
And makes it right because hockey is more Canada's national sport than the U.S. So help me with this name, Caleb.
Johannes Hosflot Klebo.
Thank you.
I think.
Of Norway became the first winter athlete to ever win 6 gold during a single Olympic Games. Wow, Eric Heiden did 5, but 6? That's crazy.
The American delegation, as we mentioned, earned 12 gold medals, 33 total medals, most successful Winter Olympics performance since 1952.
Yeah, boy. Alyssa Liu ended a 24-year drought for American women in figure skating by winning the gold in the singles event.
I didn't realize it had been that long. This was another really cool Olympic story. At age 41, Alana Myers-Taylor secured the first gold medal of her career in the monobob bobsled after competing in 5 different Olympic Games over 16 years. Huh. And at 41 years young, and again, she's a mother as well, too, and continues trying, continues battling, and she finally got gold. That's a really cool story from this year's games.
It sure is. Layla Edwards made history as the first Black American woman to win an Olympic gold medal in ice hockey.
Very cool. Jordan Stolz from Wisconsin, Kewaskum native, was a standout for the United States. He won 3 medals, finished 4th in his final event, one of 6 Americans to earn multiple podium finishes in Italy. He had 2 gold, 1 silver.
The games featured nearly 3,000 athletes representing 92 different delegations before concluding with a ceremony in the historic Verona Arena.
And we told you Norway had 41 medals, the U.S. 33. Italy, the home country, had that home country boost, 30 medals, Germany 26, and Japan 24.
Hi, my name is Asher from Ladysmith. My highlight of the weekend was going to the Minor Theater in Ladysmith and watching I Can Only Imagine 2. It really made me feel good.
The Whip Wake Up Show on a Monday, WWIB, and today the Toy Fair New York wraps up.
Yes, there's a lot going around. About 25,000 visitors each year. Major retailers like Target, Walmart, and Amazon attend to scout for new products to stock up for the next holiday season. They're always thinking well ahead.
Yeah, one major theme is the dominance of licensed brands, Peanuts, Strawberry Shortcake, and more. Winnie the Pooh's 100th anniversary, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and more are going to be featured. So,
a strong trend is anti-screen and sensory and creative play at this toy fair. Many companies push squishies, squeezies, slime kits, puzzles, and building toys designed for tactile, soothing play that keeps kids off tablets while still feeling modern and engaging. Cool.
You know, the trailer for Toy Story 5 just came out, and it has that theme, too. Lego was showing smart brick-based Star Wars sets such as Millennium Falcon, Luke's Red 5 X-Wing, and Darth Vader's TIE, where embedded elements add reactive lights and sounds to create more cinematic play scenes.
That's pretty cool. Augmented reality and game creation toys made a splash. One example was an AR-enabled giant jigsaw puzzle. Another was a Pixicade-style book that turns kids' doodles into playable video games via an app, effectively teaching basic game design concepts.
These don't sound like basic toys.
It really doesn't. I'm just wondering what the price tag on these is going to be for Christmas.
High-end robotics was highlighted as well. They show robots that can walk, talk, transform, and respond to voice or app commands.
In Dolls, American Girl introduced a modern era collection, a contemporary line positioned to reflect kids' current lives and interests.
And classic brands also showed new spins, such as a Play-Doh Donut Drop Shop set that leans into donut-themed pretend play and bakery mechanics.
There's always some of the classics, I think, that are always going to fit. But a lot of innovation at the toy fair that's going on.
Well, there are times we drop knowledge, and maybe it's just something you can share around the water cooler, but we're going to share some facts that could potentially help you save someone's life.
Now, these are facts from the internet, so take them as you will. But the internet has some tips on again, ways to save someone's life. If you know this, for instance, crawl out of a burning building, breathing as close as possible to the floor as you move. Toxic smoke rises while air remains more breathable nearest the floor. I've heard that before. Absolutely.
I remember that PSA from Dick Van Dyke. Another one. Do not pick up a person that has fainted. Instead, lift their feet above heart level and keep at it till they wake up to make the blood flow back in their head to deliver oxygen.
The internet has tips about facts that could save someone's life. They say someone who's choking makes no noise. People who are choking for real are often so panicked they don't even think to give the I'm choking sign. They just kind of sit there looking terrified. Huh. You have to recognize that and act. Coughing / gagging is a good sign they can move air then if they're coughing and gagging.
Yeah. Here's another one. If an adult collapses during or right after exercise and doesn't respond, assume cardiac arrest, not exhaustion. Start CPR and send someone for an AED instead of just trying to wake them up.
Better safe than sorry. Again, facts that could save someone's life coming from the internet. They say if you're in an emergency situation, you have low phone battery, manually dim the screen to the lowest usable brightness and turn off Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS/location services unless you absolutely need them. If you don't need data, put the phone in airplane mode and only toggle it off briefly to check messages to preserve that battery as long as possible.
A couple of more facts that could help you save someone's life, potentially. Never use water on a grease fire, like a pan of burning oil. Turn off the heat and slide a lid or baking sheet over the pan to smother it. If you can't, get out and call 911.
Couple other tips here. In cold conditions, feeling suddenly warm, calm, and very sleepy after shivering hard is a red flag sign of worsening hypothermia.
If you're lost outdoors and rescue is at all likely, stop walking aimlessly. Stay put. Make yourself visible. Bright clothing, signal fire, wear safe, and conserve energy and water.
And one more. Again, tips from the internet. Things that could save someone's life if you know them. If you're in a crowd that's starting to surge, they say keep your arms bent in front of your chest like you're hugging an invisible backpack. That creates space to breathe and can prevent your chest from being crushed if you get squeezed, again, by a surging crowd. So hopefully you're not in any of these situations, but forewarned, forearmed, some wisdom from online there.
Be prepared.